welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is an educational service in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally on KU Band Radio at Telstar 5, 7 days a week on Truth Radio Network, and in more than 70 countries worldwide on the Internet. For more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit my webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. The Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, news, and current events, so stay tuned for tonight's special report on journalistic fraud, published by WNDBooks.com. Bob Cohn is the author. We've been reviewing this book for the past several nights. It's an expose of the New York Times and the methodologies by which the Times uses to spin or to deceive us, lie to us, in short. In the articles and the straight news articles that are brought to us every day in the Times and nationwide on the New York Times wire service. Now, there's a conflict in the world. There are two opposing camps. Opposing camp number one is the New World Order crowd. They have in their minds a utopian communistic world, a socialist utopia. Whether you call it communism, socialism, capitalism, democracy, Fabianism, or some other ism that you hang on it, it is the diametric opposite to the creator of the universe, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of the Ten Commandments. And Journalistic Fraud is one of those 1 in 20 books, $27.95 at Barnes & Noble. Bob Cohn is the author. It's a 1 in 20 read. You'll read 20 books before you'll find one that'll give you the kind of information that can actually make a difference in your life. This is one of them. Journalistic Fraud: How the New York Times Distorts the News and Why It No Longer Can Be Trusted. A few nights ago, I brought to you the communist version, the internationalist view. They're called the Protocols of the Learned Elders of Zion. And the 10th protocol says, when we introduce the poison of liberalism into the government organism, its entire political complexion changed. In the 9th protocol, it says people of all opinions and of all doctrines are at our service. Restorers of monarchy, demagogues, socialists, communists, and other utopians, we've put them all to work. Every one of them, from his point of view, is undermining the last remnant of authority, and he is trying to overthrow all existing order, and all of the governments of the world have been tormented by these actions. But we will not give them peace until they recognize our super government. That's the United Nations and the New World Order, coming to a town near you shortly. Now, the other side of this controversy is described in the Bible in Deuteronomy chapter 28. It's what is known as the Penal Clause chapter. A contract was negotiated by Moses out at Mount Sinai with the Israelites, and those Israelites today can be identified in the nations of Western Europe, Australia, New Zealand, Canada, the United States. That's another story for another day, but the point I'm making is that there's two sides to the coin. There's heads and then there's tails. We've been looking at heads. Nobody's ever pointed out tails, so I thought I'd do that in this last program in the series. If you've got a Bible, why don't you flip over to Deuteronomy chapter 28, and let me take you through the penal clause to this contract and what we can be looking for in the future from the New World Order. The New York Times, the Washington Post, the Los Angeles Times, what we call the mainstream media. They are the mouthpiece. They are these newspapers collectively, along with CBS and ABC, the news media is the mouthpiece for the New World Order, the global utopian communist society of the future. In Deuteronomy 28, verse 1, he says, "And it will come to pass, if you will hearken diligently unto the voice of the Eternal your God to observe and do all of his commandments, which I command you this day, that the Eternal your God will set you on high above all the nations of the earth. And all of these blessings shall come on you and overtake you, if you shall hearken unto the voice of the Eternal your God." He said, "Blessed shall you be in the city, blessed shall you be in the field, blessed shall be the fruit of your body, the fruit of your ground, the fruit of your cattle, the increase of your kind, the flocks of your sheep. Blessed shall be the basket and store, or your basket and store. Blessed shall you be when you come in, blessed shall you be when you go out. The Eternal shall cause your enemies that rise up against you to be smitten before your face. They shall come out against you one way and flee before you seven ways. The Eternal shall command the blessing upon you in your storehouses and in all that you set your hand to do. And he shall bless you in the land which the Eternal your God gives you. The Eternal shall establish you a holy people unto himself, as he has sworn unto you, and if you keep the commandments of the Eternal your God and walk in his ways. And all the people of the earth shall see that you are called by the name of the Eternal, and they shall be afraid of you. And the Eternal shall make you plenteous in goods, in the fruit of your body, in the fruit of your cattle, in the fruit of your ground, in the land which the Eternal swore unto you, and unto your fathers to give you. And the Eternal shall open unto you his good treasure, the heaven, to give the rain unto the land in his season, and to bless the work of your hand. And you shall lend unto many nations, and you shall not borrow. And the Eternal shall make you the head and not the tail, and you shall be above only, and you shall not be beneath. And if you hearken unto the commandments of the Eternal your God, which I command you this day to observe and to do them. And you shall not go aside from any of the words which I command you this day, to the right hand or to the left, to go after other gods to serve them." That's the first 14 verses, and it's a pretty neat story. It says, I'm going to give you all these good things because you people would like them, and I'd like to give them to you. And besides that, I contracted with your patriarch, Abraham, to give his offspring, his descendants, all these blessings. Now, we Americans between 1787 and about 1950 have been collecting all these benefits. And while we didn't practice all of this law, we did practice most of it. To give you an illustration, there's 759 statutes, judgments, and commandments organized into 133 titles or subject matters of law. As of this moment in time, we're practicing 52 of those subject matters of law in this country, the United States, and we no longer practice 81. That's assuming that we ever did practice them. Like land Sabbaths and Jubilees, we never did practice, but we used to do such things as the Sabbath. For instance, when I was a youngster in 1940 to 50, in that 10-year period, when I was a small wee lad, here in the United States, we had a system of laws called blue laws, that is, the biblical laws that were codified into statutes in our secular law. So it was against the law to keep your store open on Sunday in 1940, 45, 50, along in there. And then we got it in our heads that, well, no, we're not going to practice the Sabbath anymore, and so we repealed these blue laws. It was against the law to practice sodomy, bestiality, abortion, you know, common, ordinary things that today, you know, we just take for granted. You know, every store is open 24/7, like Walmart and Herald's Club, the casinos. And everybody recognizes and understands that sodomy is a civil right and that the Sabbath is religion, and we're not going to stand still for, you know, a mixture of religion in our political scheme of things. And so we can all recognize that we have repealed a number of these laws. Now, the God that's involved here, you know, the other side of the controversy over here does have something to say about that. And I thought we ought to share it, because one of the benefits, he says, your enemies shall be afraid of you and flee from before you seven ways. Hey, listen, up until recently, when America went to war, you know, we commanded the battlefield and our enemies fled seven ways. Well, we still command the battlefield, but did you notice that our enemies aren't fleeing? So in the past, when they used to flee from us, they're not doing that anymore. Just thought I'd point that out. In Iraq, we notice that our enemies are getting pretty testy, aren't they? Now, in verse 15, he goes on to say this. He says, now, if you will, but it will come to pass, he says, if you will not hearken unto the voice of the Eternal your God, to observe to do all of his commandments and his statutes, which I command you this day, that all of these curses shall come upon you and overtake you. So I thought I'd point this out. Let's take a look at these curses, because my grandmother and the grandfather practiced the law and took the benefits. Passed it on to me. They taught me this law. In our public schools, we no longer teach morality. We don't teach the Ten Commandments. We have banished the Bible from the public schools. We say that there's a bar, you know, a separation between church and state. There is today, but there wasn't in 1950. There wasn't in 1900. There was no separation of church and state in 1850 or 1787. We got it into our heads beginning in 1947 that we ought to have a separation of church and state. And the first case that was decided along that line by the Supreme Court in 1947, followed up by a number of other decisions, which culminated in the outlawing of the Bible from public school in 1963, I say is a step in the wrong direction, but then I'll let you be the judge. He goes on to say here in verse 16, he said, cursed shall you be in the city, and cursed shall you be in the field. Cursed shall be your basket and your store, and cursed shall be the fruit of your body and the fruit of your land, the increase of your kind and the flocks of your sheep. Cursed shall you be when you come in, cursed shall you be when you go out, and the Eternal shall send upon you cursing, vexation, and rebuke in all that you set your hand unto for to do, until you be destroyed. And until you perish quickly because of the wickedness of your doings whereby you have forsaken me. I think you'll have to agree with me that we Americans no longer practice the Bible, at least not in our public lives. Now, maybe some of you do privately. 65% of Americans go to church. I'm not sure that they follow, practice, and worship the God of the Bible. I kind of think that they're off here practicing religion separate and independently from the Scripture, from what I hear and understand from people that come through school. They don't have any compunctions about telling me that they no longer practice this law, that they're under grace and they're no longer under this law. Well, that's fine. I guess you don't have to practice, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal. I guess that's been abolished and nailed to the cross with Jesus. But if it has, the penalties haven't. It would occur to me that if the penalties haven't been abolished, what would make us think that the law has been repealed? In verse 21, he goes on to say, the Eternal shall make the pestilence cleave unto you until he has consumed you from off the land where you go in to possess it. And the Eternal shall smite you with a consumption, and with a fever, and with an inflammation, and with an extreme burning, and with the sword, and with blasting and mildew, and they shall pursue you until you perish. Have you noticed that here in the United States that we have quite an incidence of cancer? In fact, one out of every two people drawing breath today is going to contract cancer at some point in his life. And by the year 2020, they tell us, they promise us that it'll be one out of one. That's 100% infection rate on cancer. Sounds like that prophecy is coming to pass. Furthermore, we have a big problem with cardiovascular disease, and then, of course, we eat a lot of fat here in the United States in the form of McDonald's and Burger King. And you can see here that the health of the nation, 25 or 27% of us now are obese. Yeah, we eat a lot of junk food, sit on the couch and watch TV. We're kind of living it up, having a good time. And you'll notice here that this prophecy, bad health, is coming to pass. I say that's a step in the wrong direction. He goes on to say in verse 23 that the heaven that is over your head shall be brass, and the earth that's under you shall be iron. The Eternal shall make the rain of your land powder and dust. From heaven shall it come down upon you until you be destroyed. Now, we've gone through droughts before. You know, drought is a part and parcel with life, isn't it? In the 1930s, we had about a 10-year drought. We're going into about a 10-year drought now out in the western United States. I don't know, boys and girls, it sounds like to me that we'd be better off with rain in due season, don't you? And has anybody ever thought that, gee, I wonder if this God over here is withholding the rain like he told us he was going to do if we wouldn't practice this law? I just thought I'd share it with you and you make up your own mind. In verse 25, he goes on to say, the Eternal shall cause you to be smitten before your enemies, You shall go out one way against them and flee seven ways before them, and you shall be removed into all the kings and kingdoms of the world. Now, that verse 25 talks about national captivity, and national captivity is the penalty for Sabbath breaking. Remember, 1950, we repealed the blue laws concerning the Sabbath, and here we are 50 years later, and it looks like, we don't know, but it looks like if we go into national captivity, there's a penalty for it, and that penalty is Sabbath breaking as the cause of, or the precipitous cause of national captivity. You're listening to The Law Hour and the Editorial Review. We're sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. We'll take a quick break here. You know, once in a while we get a glimpse of the real world through the eyes of an insider like John Swinton, for instance. He was the former editor of the New York Tribune when he said to the New York Press Association on February 26, 1936, he said this, quote, "There's no such thing as a free and independent press in America." Now notice, this is 1936. This is the subject matter that we're covering in this series of programs here called Journalistic Fraud. And he says, "There's no such thing as a free and independent press in America, clear back in 1936, unless it's in some country town," he said. "There's not one of you who dares express an honest opinion because you know beforehand it would never appear in print. Now, I'm paid $150 a week for keeping my honest opinions out of the paper that I'm connected with, and others of you are paid for doing similar things. Now, if I should permit my honest opinions to be printed in one issue of my paper, like Othello, before 24 hours, my occupation would be gone. Our business," he said, "is to lie outright, to pervert, vilify, to fawn at the feet of mammon, and to sell his race and his country for his daily bread. We are the tools of rich men behind the scenes. We are intellectual prostitutes," he said, unquote. Now, these rich men behind the scenes are the movers and shakers of this global 2000 New World Order program. Men and families like the Windsors, the Rockefellers, Bushes, Bundys, Carnegies, Vanderbilts, and Kissingers, and so on. I say it's time for us to wise up and start listening more to the God of Abraham and stop following after all these crazy scientists, philosophers, preachers, and politicians, and let you and I prepare to live through and survive this New World Order and Global 2000 insanity. If you'd like to learn more about this Global 2000 and Bible prophecy and this New World Order, why don't you call and order my 4-hour compact disc package? It's educational, entertaining, informative. Best of all, it's free of charge, and you can call right now. The number is 417-273-4967 to order your free General Law CD package. Remember, that's 417-273-4967. Now, if you're online, why don't you go to the website? That's georgegordon.org. Click onto the email and send me an email request. Remember, that's georgegordon.org. Click onto the email, send an email, or call direct, 417-273-4967. Remember this protocol: when we introduce the poison of liberalism into the government organism, its entire political complexion change. That's the 10th protocol. Now, the other side of the coin is the Bible in Deuteronomy 28, the penal clause to the contract. The other guy that's in this controversy between this New World Order, this satanic program, is the God of creation. You know, the guy that made Adam and Eve and set up the world and created the universe and created what we see and the world and so on in opposition. I know I'm out of step with modern evolutionary religion and philosophy here, because everybody believes that the dinosaurs died 65 million years ago, and I don't want to take issue with the evolutionists in this program, but I do from time to time take on that issue. What we're trying to cover here is this journalistic fraud. Nobody has ever told us anything about Deuteronomy 28. Have you ever had a preacher stand up on Sunday and say, "Listen, let me explain to you the penal clause to the contract, and if you violate the terms and conditions of this contract, here's what you can expect in return"? George Bush didn't tell me. Congress didn't tell me. Dianne Feinstein, Ted Kennedy, none of them have given me this other side of the coin, the other side of the story. Or as Paul Harvey would say, the rest of the story. In verse 26, he said, "Your carcass shall be meat unto the fowls of the air and unto the beasts of the earth, and no man shall fray them away. The Eternal shall smite you with the botch of Egypt, and with the emerods, and with the scab, and with the itch whereof you cannot be healed." Speaking of incurable diseases, there are about 400 and, I don't know, 25 to 50 of these incurable, or not necessarily incurable, but 425 to 450 of these diseases, cancer, muscular dystrophy, multiple sclerosis, and heart attack and stroke and so on. Now, some of those are curable. Modern medicine has done a miraculous job in coming up with some cures for some of these diseases, but then I think it's about 15 or 20 diseases that are curable and the other 400 aren't. Kind of sounds like to me that modern medical science is struggling mightily to find a cure, but they're really more interested in treatments, which make more money. In verse 28, he says, "The Eternal shall smite you with madness and blindness and astonishment of heart." That's mental disease. "You shall grope at noonday as the blind who groped in the darkness, and you shall not prosper in your ways, and you shall be only oppressed and spoiled evermore, and no man shall save you." Kind of reminds me of the IRS, the EPA, the State Tax Commission, and the rest of these government bureaucracies that Thomas Jefferson spoke of, you know, that constantly eat out our substance and impoverish us. Verse 30, "You shall betroth a wife, and another man shall lay with her. You shall build a house, and you shall not dwell therein. You shall plant a vineyard, and you shall not gather the grapes thereof. Your ox shall be slain before your eyes. You shall not eat thereof, and your ass shall be violently taken away from before your face, and shall not be restored to you. Your sheep shall be given to your enemies, and you shall have none to rescue them." Well, it's bad now, and it promises to get a whole lot worse if government continues to become bigger and bigger, more and more powerful. Verse 32, he says, "Your sons and your daughters shall be given unto another people, and your eyes shall look and fail with longing for them all the day long, and there shall be no might in your hand." Have you ever tried to get your children back from DFS? The Department of Family Services, they take 2.5 million children a year away here in the United States, and people longingly look to their children who have been taken away, and they'd like to get them back. But, hey, listen, the doctrine of parens patre is the rule of law that we follow in the United States, not strict property rights under thou shalt not steal. Now, the Eternal shall, verse 33, "The fruit of your land and all of your labor shall be a nation which you know not eat up, and you shall be only oppressed and crushed always, so that you shall be mad for the sight of your eyes which you shall see, and the Eternal shall smite you in the knees and in the legs with a sore botch that cannot be healed from the sole of your foot to the top of your head." Sounds like SARS and AIDS to me. "The Eternal shall bring you and your king, which you shall set over you, unto a nation which neither you nor your fathers have known, and there shall you serve other gods, wood and stone." So if we don't want to serve our God, the God of Abraham, then we can go serve the gods of the Chinese or the gods of the Muslims in their lands when they take us into national captivity. Have you thought about what are you going to do when the economy collapses? When we're no longer able to buy or import all of the goods that we now import from China, Japan, and around the world. Do you, honest to God, believe that those countries are going to continue to produce our tennis shoes, our automobiles, and ship us our oil and gasoline for worthless paper IOUs? Don't you think they might want to get paid something for them? For our paper money, we get tennis shoes. What are they going to get from us? More paper? Now, in verse 37, he goes on to say, "You shall become an astonishment, a proverb, and a byword among all the nations where the Eternal shall lead you." This God here, whoever this guy is, this guy says he is going to lead us into national captivity, into the land of our enemies, China, Japan, Mongolia, Russia. I mean, I don't know. Maybe this guy is just whistling Dixie through a straw hat. Maybe he can't do this. Maybe our Army, Navy, and Marines is tougher than God. The Egyptian army had 450,000 men in it, and they weren't tough enough, and they all died in the Red Sea in about 20 minutes. It was all over. This guy says that he can walk, talk, and chew gum, do it all at the same time, and punish us because we won't practice the terms and conditions of this contract. And maybe you're saying, well, I didn't sign up for this contract. Well, that's true. But it's still binding on you anyway because it's an adhesion contract and you're one of the heirs and the signs forever. Even if you're a black African or a Vietnamese boat person, when you came to the United States and took out your citizenship here in the United States, citizenship in Canada, Australia, New Zealand, France, Germany, all these Israelite nations, well, that citizenship binds you to the terms and conditions of the contract. You're called strangers and you come under the stranger statute under the terms of the contract. It's called an adhesion contract. Adhesion contract. Can you say that, boys and girls? Adhesion contract. It'll blow your socks off. Verse 38, he says, "You shall carry much seed out into the field, and you shall gather but little in, for the locusts shall consume it. You shall plant vineyards and dress them, but you shall neither drink of the wine nor gather of the grapes, for the worms shall eat them. You shall have olive trees throughout all of your coasts, but you shall not anoint yourself with the oil, for your olive shall cast its fruit." You know, we're in the process of violating all 15 of the 15 agricultural laws, including Leviticus 19:19. You shall not sow your field with mingled seed. This genetic modification and hybridization of our seeds, chemical fertilizers and pesticide agriculture, agribusiness instead of agriculture, I would suspect is going to come to haunt us one of these days. Now, I'm an agronomist, and I've been in the cattle business and farming all my life, and I want to tell you that what I see on the horizon, based upon what I know in agriculture, I don't think Monsanto is going to lead us into a bigger, better, more prosperous, and better world. I think that where we're headed is famine, starvation, and poverty. That's my prediction. And I see here in Deuteronomy 28, we get the same predictions. It isn't that I'm so smart, but, you know, I've been around the block a couple of times, and I see what I see in the scriptures, and I see that being put into operation out here in the fields, out on the farms. I don't think that's going to work. Now, that's just my opinion, and I'm giving you my opinion. It's not a straight news story out of the New York Times. That's what I think. Verse 41, he says, "You shall beget sons and daughters, and you shall not enjoy them, for they shall go into captivity. And all of your trees and fruit of your land shall the locust consume. The stranger that's within you," that's the blacks and Hispanics and boat people and all these others, "shall get up above you very high, and you shall come down very low." By the way, I just thought I'd mention this. In 1960, 90% of the population of the United States was white, Anglo-Saxon WASPs. Today, we're 68% white, Anglo-Saxon WASPs, and 32% all others. By the year 2050, they tell us that we'll be 50-50. 50-50. I suspect that these strangers within our gates are going to just vote us right out of office and take over, don't you? Hey, I'm not too sure that those Hispanics are going to forget the Treaty of Guadalupe and the Mexican War of 1848. Do you? Now, in verse 44, "He shall lend to you, and you shall not lend to him. He shall be the head, and you shall be the tail. Moreover, all of these curses shall come upon you, and shall pursue you, and overtake you, until you be destroyed, because you hearken not unto the voice of the Eternal your God to keep his commandments and his statutes, which he commanded you." Now, we got these commandments, you know, the Ten Commandments and the 759 statutes, judgments, and commandments out of Mount Sinai. And we got it in our minds here in the United States starting about 1950 that we wanted a separation between church and state, and we didn't want to practice this law any longer, and we haven't. You know, we haven't. We've banned them from our public schools, banned them from our national political scene, banned them now from our national consciousness. America is no longer a moral nation. We're rather amoral at best and immoral at worst. All right, you're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review. Tonight's report, Journalistic Fraud, How the New York Times Has Been Distorting the News and Why It Can No Longer Be Trusted. It's written by a guy named Bob Cohn. Bob Cohn, K-O-H-N. And Bob is a lawyer. And this book is $27.95 at Barnes & Noble. It's a 1 in 20 read. And I'm simply putting the final flourishing touches on this story of journalistic fraud we're going through. Deuteronomy chapter 28, the penal clause chapter, one of two. Leviticus 26 is one, and Deuteronomy 28. The penal clause chapters, if you don't practice the Mosaic law, then here's what you can expect. Hang on a second. You know, the genocidal policy of Global 2000 and this New World Order are the greatest threats to our lives, liberties, and property since Noah's flood. And that's not just my opinion. Jesus of Nazareth held that same view when he said in Matthew 24, verse 22, quote, "Except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved alive." That's quite a statement. No flesh saved alive. Except he shortens those days. Now, there are 64 life-threatening problems described in the scripture detailing this New World Order and their Global 2000 genocide plan. And the scripture teaches preparation for this great tribulation, not apathy and indifference. I say it's time that you and I wise up and start listening more to the God of Israel and stop following after all these crazy scientists, philosophers, preachers, and politicians. You know, politicians like Ted Kennedy, Arlen Specter, Hillary, or that guy John Ashcroft in the Justice Department. I say it's time to prepare to live through and survive this Global 2000 New World Order nightmare. Now, if you'd like to do just that, why don't you call and write, call or write, and ask for those 64 life-threatening problems from the Scripture, and let's talk about formulating a real, meaningful, intelligent plan to survive this Global 2000 and these other 64 life-threatening problems called the Great Tribulation. By the way, I'm just reading them to you right out of Deuteronomy 28. This is where you're going to find all these life-threatening problems. Just call and order my free General Law CD package. Remember, that's a 4-hour commentary on the law in general. It's educational, informative, it's entertaining. Best of all, it's free. You can call right now. The number is 417-273-4967. My subsistence and survival school is also available on compact disc for adult home study. If you're online, why don't you go to the website? It's georgegordon.org. Click onto the email. Send me an email request for that free General Law CD package. Remember, that's georgegordon.org, or call direct, 417-273-4967. All right, we're in the other side of the coin here is Deuteronomy 28 and Leviticus 26, the two penal clause chapters to the Old Covenant. To give you a little background, Moses, remember, he was out there at Mount Sinai. He had about 3.5 million of our progenitors out there, our forefathers, the Israelites that had just come out of Egyptian captivity. And he went up on top of the mountain. He spent about 40 days up there with God, 40 days and 40 nights, the scripture tells us. And while he was up there, God wrote these 10 commandments on the two tables of stone that he put in the Ark of the Covenant. Well, inside that ark, there was also written a parchment, and that parchment contained the rest of this law that I'm reading to you right now, along with the penal clause that goes with it. It's been a part and parcel of Anglo-Saxon administration for 3,100 years. You know, we Anglo-Saxons have some pretty strange customs and pretty strange practices, and a lot of those date back to Mount Sinai. They date back to our Egyptian captivity. So, God pitched us a deal. It's called a tender offer in law. And he said, hey, listen, if you'll do this, that, and another thing for me, I'll do this, that, and another thing for you. And the this, that, and another thing for you is called the reciprocity on the contract. This is an adhesion contract entered into by your great-great-great-great-granddaddy 84 generations ago. And it inures to all of the heirs and the signs forever. I don't know how long forever is, but I do know that it's not up yet. So the contract's still in full force and effect among those people who are the descendants of the original contractors. My name's Gordon, and my ancient ancestors were a part and party to those covenants and agreements. So it's binding on me and my family. And I think if you take a look at England, France, Denmark, Ireland, Scotland, Germany, Norway, Belgium, Luxembourg, Switzerland, Sweden, Finland, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, Australia, South Africa, and Rhodesia, I think you'd find all 10 of those lost 10 tribes of Israel. And I think you'd be able to identify the other 3 that aren't lost right in there with them. That's another story for another day. We're on verse 46, Deuteronomy 28, looking at the penal clause to the contract. So in verse 46, he goes on to say, "And they shall be upon you for a sign and for a wonder, and upon your seed forever." What? What's going to be upon our seed forever? What is this sign that we're going to have? The sign, verse 45, "Moreover, all of these curses shall come upon you, and shall pursue you, and overtake you, and you shall be destroyed, because you hearken not unto the voice of the Eternal your God, to keep his commandments and his statutes, which he commanded you." Let me back up here a minute. You know, our founding fathers in 1787 were a pretty moral bunch of people. I mean, these are the people, you know, that obeyed God and kept his commandments. I mean, they did a pretty good job of it. They gave us gold and silver coin in place of paper money. You know, they practiced thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not commit adultery, and so on. Now, they didn't do it 100% of the time, and they didn't do it 100% to perfect, but, you know, they worked at it. And then they did a pretty good job. And as time has progressed along, the morality of America, and I would submit probably the morality of Australia, New Zealand, Canada, and Western Europe is degenerating. It's degenerating. And today, we accept sodomy as being an alternative lifestyle, and we teach that in our public schools, whereas, you know, 50 years ago, we were teaching thou shalt not commit adultery, and we were teaching and had blue laws against sodomy and bestiality. And there's 133 of these laws, and we're now in violation of 81, and we're practicing 52. I think about 50 years ago, we were practicing 81, and we were in violation of 52, because as we go through time, go through history, we find that we're violating more and more laws, and that's why we have such a humongous national debt. That's why Americans are in debt. You know, in 1900, 100 years ago, we had virtually no debt. We didn't believe in the stuff. We didn't have credit cards and paper money, bank credit. We owned our homes. It was a wild new concept, you know, just think of it. Owning your home with no debt, no mortgage, no payments. Well, today, you know, we've accepted this concept of debt to such a degree that we now have a $149 trillion debt. Just add up all the obligations that we Americans have, $149 trillion. And that's a bunch of money. I don't think we can pay it. I don't think we can service the debt on it. And when this economy collapses, it'll be worldwide. And when that happens, there's going to be some major changes. And we're reading about these major changes coming up in the not-too-distant future, would be my observation, to a city near you. Yeah, a city near you. That's why in verse 46, he goes on to say, "They shall be upon you for a sign and for a wonder, and upon your children forever, because you served not the Eternal your God with joyfulness and with gladness of heart for the abundance of all things. Therefore shall you serve your enemies, which the Eternal shall send against you, in hunger, and in thirst, and in nakedness, and in want of all things. And he shall put a yoke of iron around your neck until he has destroyed you." Now, if you think what happened to the Jews in Europe during World War II was bad, wicked, terrible, awful, and evil, this sounds a whole lot worse than that to me. I don't think Americans and Canadians are gonna take to that very well. And all of you strangers, you know, that are coming over here, and participating in this contract, you should be aware of the fact that you too are named under the terms and conditions of this contract as citizens of Canada, citizens of Australia, you know, citizens of the United States. This has a legal connection with each and every one of you. And I suspect that when this terrible calamity comes upon us, you're not going to have a clue. You know, why is this happening to us? I just can't believe this is happening. So when it happens, you'll know, because I just told you. There's a contract in force here. This is the penal clause in the contract. We agreed. See, your great-great-granddaddy, he agreed to the terms and conditions of this contract. And then there's a stranger statute in here, and in the stranger statute it tells us pretty plainly, all of the strangers that are within your gates have to practice this law. So when you're driving down the road and you come to the state border, you know, it'll say, "Welcome to Missouri. Buckle your seatbelt, it's our law." The sign should read, "Welcome to Missouri." And it should cite the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not commit adultery, this is our law. Make sure that you practice it. Now, of course, we decided we didn't want to do that anymore, and that's a choice that we had to make, and it's a choice that we've made. And now that we've made it, you got to live with it. As my old granny used to say, you know, you made your bed, sweetheart, now you got to sleep in it. We Americans have made our bed, now we're going to have to sleep in it. So if you're getting a little nervous and you're sitting there saying to yourself, you know, I'm not so sure that I want to buy into this program that's being espoused by the Bonesman. You know, this is Kerry and Bush. And did you catch that one scripture back there that said, "And your king that you have set over you"? You know, we've set our king over us, didn't we? And when we set this king, the bright spot in all of this is that he goes into national captivity with us. That's the bright spot. The Bonesman is going to get his opportunity to do his time in the concentration camp with all the rest of us. All right, going on here, he says, "Therefore shall you serve your enemies," verse 48, "you shall serve your enemies, which the Eternal shall send against you, in hunger and in thirst, and in nakedness, and in want of all things." No, we have an abundance of everything today. Wait until that's taken away from us. Verse 49, he says, "The Eternal shall bring a nation against you from far, from the ends of the earth, as swift as the eagle flies, a nation whose tongue you shall not understand." Well, I don't know what nation that's going to be. China, Japan, Russia, maybe NATO, Europe. I can't tell you. I'm not a prophet. I'm just relating to you the legal consequences of the breach of contract here in the contract. But it appears to me that it's probably going to be the Chinese. Probably. A nation from far. They're nuclear armed. They got nuclear missiles. They're allied with the Russians, the Mongols, and North Korea. And then you just take all those Arabs over there. Can't you just picture this? Do you think that the Arabs, the Chinese, and the Russians, along with the North Koreans, the Iranians, and the Iraqis, have any love for the United States? And do you think that if they thought for a minute that they could destroy us, they wouldn't give it a whirl? I don't know. You know, God said, "Now I'm going to stir up your enemies, and you're going to go against them one way and flee from before them seven ways." We Americans only comprise about 6% of the world's population. And China, along with Russia and Korea and the Arabs and so on, the Muslims, not just Arabs, but the Muslims. You got 1 billion Chinese and you got 1 billion Muslims, and they hate us. Hate us. It's surprising that 6% of the world's population could stir up 2/6, 40%, to hate us like they do. And it isn't beyond my imagination to see those people united against us, to go to war against us. He goes on in verse 50, he says, "A nation of fierce countenance, which shall not regard the person of the old, nor show favor to the young. And he shall eat the fruit of your cattle, the fruit of your land, until you be destroyed. Which also shall not leave you either corn, wine, or oil, or the increase of your kine, or flocks of your sheep, until he has destroyed you." Notice this word destruction or destroy you has come up here 4 or 5 times in this chapter. God has a plan in mind, and the plan is to destroy us. Now, you Australians are over in Iraq with us. I don't know about you people in New Zealand. I don't know if you got a contingent over there or not. But the best thing you can do is to obey God and keep His commandments, and you'd be surprised. I suppose, you know, He might keep those foreigners and those invaders away from you if you do that as a nation. But if you don't do it as a nation, you ought to at least do it as an individual or as a family. You know, tuck that away in your heart. You might want to do it all by yourself rather than to go along with a multitude to do evil. Hey, you're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review. We're sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. You know, back in 1970, the world food supply was 73 days for every man, woman, and child in the world. Today, it's down to less than 38 days. Now, we produce grain for export, all right, but then we import grapes from Chile, tomatoes from Mexico, berries from Guatemala. In fact, our food supply is in the hands of foreigners and multinational corporations who support this global 2000 population reduction program. Here in the United States, 50% now of all the food that we eat in this country, 50% is imported from outside our borders. Now, this globalization may be good for business, but globalization is not good for you and it's not good for me. Back in 1940, all of us had a pantry full of food to feed our families for a year. Today we have a 3-day supply in our refrigerators, and we believe in our supermarket system of just-in-time delivery to feed us. Now, over the past 60 years, we Americans have traded a 1-year supply of food for 3 days. You think that's very wise? And these global 2,000 mad scientists, philosophers, preachers, and politicians plan to use famine, plague, disease, and pestilence to reduce the Earth's population by 90% over the next 50 years, or so says the Club of Rome. I say these evil madmen with their global 2000 genocide agenda have a cause that they're willing to die for. And I say let them die for their cause and let you and I live for ours. And let me show you from the scripture how to be a live survivor instead of a dead victim. If you'd like to learn more, why don't you call and order my free General Law CD package. Remember, that's a 4-hour commentary on the law in general. It's educational, it's informative, it's entertaining. Best of all, it's free of charge. And you can call right now. The number is 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. My subsistence and survival school is also available on compact disc for adult home study. And if you're online, you can go to the website georgegordon.org, click onto the email machine, and send me an email request and order your free General Law CD package. Remember, it's free of charge. That address again, georgegordon.org, or call direct 417-273-4967. All right, we're reviewing a book here called Journalistic Fraud, How the New York Times Distorts the News and Why It Can No Longer Be Trusted. Bob Cohn is the author. It's put out by WNDBooks.com, Nashville, Tennessee. That's WNDBooks.com. $27.95, Barnes & Noble will have a copy. I recommend it highly. But I thought as a closer, we ought to take a look here at the ultimate end game plan. There's another player in the game that nobody's been talking about, and that player is the creator of the universe, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And I say that we probably ought to pay a little bit of attention to this guy, because he seems to think or says that he controls the circumstances. He controls the world. He says the world is my footstool. And he says that he controls the events among the nations. Let's see if that's really true. We won't know until he actually pulls it off. But when he pulls it off, you'll know that you heard it first right here. Now, in verse 52, he goes on to say, "And he shall besiege you in all of your gates until your high and fenced walls come down, wherein you trusted, throughout all of your land. And he shall besiege you in all of your gates throughout all of your land, which the Eternal your God has given you." Now, a siege, that's an embargo. That's where you get surrounded. That's where you get shut off from all of your supplies. verse 53, you shall eat the fruit of your own body and the flesh of your sons and of your daughters, which the Eternal your God has given you, in the siege and in the straitness, wherewith your enemies shall distress you. You know, if the Chinese shut off sending our tennis shoes and supplies, we're going to be in a siege. We call that trade war. So that the man, verse 54, that is tender among you and very delicate, his eye shall be evil toward his brother and toward his wife of his bosom and toward the remnant of his children, which he shall leave, so that he will not give to any of them of the flesh of his children whom he shall eat, because he has nothing left him in the siege and in the straitness wherewith thine enemy shall distress you in all of your gates. The tender and the delicate woman among you, which would not adventure to set the sole of her foot upon the ground for delicateness and tenderness, her eye shall be evil toward the husband of her bosom, and toward her son, and toward her daughter. You know, this tender and delicate woman being spoken of here among you, which would not adventure to set the sole of her foot upon the ground. I mean, have you seen these Hollywood celebrities? These sluts in Hollywood, you know, that walk around prancing half naked, but they all wear shoes. But they're nearly naked, not quite. They're covering up some of the parts of their body. Have you ever thought about those women not putting the sole of their foot on the ground? Not one of the girls from Tennessee, you know, that walks around barefoot. I think that's who he's singling out. That's what it sounds like to me. That tender and delicate woman among you, which would not adventure to set the sole of her foot on the ground for her delicateness and tenderness. He says, her eye shall be evil toward their husband of her bosom, and toward her son, and toward her daughter, and toward her young one that comes out from between her feet, and toward her children which she shall bear. And she shall eat them for one of all things secretly in the siege and straitness. Cannibalism. America, reduced to cannibalism. Australians, reduced to cannibalism. Canadians, yeah, reduced to cannibalism. Can you believe that? In the siege of Stalingrad, there was only 237 documented cases of cannibalism in 1,000 days. 237. This story here sounds like cannibalism is going to be the order of the day. You don't want to practice my law, then here's what the natural result's going to be. And I'm going to help to ensure that. Now, that's what this guy's telling us. He goes on to say in verse 58, if you will not observe to do all the words of this law that are written in this book, that you may fear his glorious and fearful name, the Eternal your God. Whenever you see this, I hear a lot of people, you know, they'll write me emails and they'll be very caustic and critical. Yeah, that's that hanging judge, that dirty God from the Old Testament, that wicked evil fellow, you know. And I gotta sit here and chuckle a little bit because, hey, this guy entered into a contract, you know, years ago with your granddaddy and mine. This contract is still in full force and effect, and we collected the benefits from 1789 to 1950. We're still collecting the benefits today. Although many of these benefits have been taken away from us, many of our freedoms are now subjected to the Patriot Act and Homeland Security and a whole host and plethora of other socialist legislation that's been enacted upon us over the last 50 years. But tuck this away in your heart. And we're still collecting these benefits, and he says, listen, you owe me reciprocity on this contract. And if you don't pay me, then there's going to be hell to pay. Verse 59, he says, then the Eternal will make your plagues wonderful, and the plagues of your seed even great plagues, and of long continuance and sore sickness, and of long continuance. Moreover, he will bring upon you all the diseases of Egypt, which you were afraid of, and they shall cleave unto you, and also every sickness and every plague which is not written in the book of this law. Them will the Eternal bring upon you until you be destroyed. Now we're in the process of being destroyed by disease. And you shall be left few in number, whereas you were as the stars of heaven for multitude, because you would not obey the voice of the Eternal your God. Now remember, he keeps telling you over and over, the reason I'm going to do this to you is because you're in breach of contract. Breach of contract. So legal obligation. Breach of contract. And it shall come to pass that as the Eternal rejoiced over you to do you good and to multiply you, so the Eternal will rejoice over you to destroy you and to bring you to naught. And you shall be plucked from off the land where you go in to possess it. And the Eternal shall scatter you among all people from the one end of the earth even to the other. And there you shall serve other gods, which neither you nor your fathers have known, even wood and stone. Now, we prefer to serve the gods of wood and stone. You know, that's our state capitals and our state laws and statutes. We would rather worship the Statue of Liberty than to worship the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And we do, and we have. And so, somebody ought to at least come to you and say, well, you know, now when this happens to you and you go into national captivity, you'll know why. You know, you at least ought to have informed consent. And verse 65, and among the nations shall you find no ease, and neither shall the sole of your foot have rest, but the Eternal shall give you there a trembling heart and failing of eyes and sorrow of mind. And your life shall hang in doubt before you, and you shall fear day and night, and shall have none assurance of your life. You'll be in a concentration camp like the Jews were in Europe. You won't know if you're going to live or die tomorrow. And in the morning, you shall say, would God that it were even, and at even you shall say, would God that it were morning. For the fear of your heart, wherewith you shall fear, and for the sight of your eyes, which you shall see. And the Eternal shall bring you into Egypt again with ships, by the way, whereof I spoke unto you. You shall see it no more again, and there you shall be sold unto your enemies for bondsmen and bondwomen, and no man shall buy you. And the reason that men won't buy you is because it's now against the law to own slaves. You can't own slaves and bond servants. Remember? 13th Amendment bars that. So we said, well, we're not going to have slavery and bond servitude anymore, so now you're going to be bought and sold by your government, by your master. The day will come when there's unemployment and there's tough times and there's famine in the land. You will be offered employment in Egypt, Libya, Ethiopia, Iraq, Saudi Arabia. Just get on the boat, just like the Jews did in Europe. Just get on the boat. You're not going by 747. You're not flying. You're going on a ship. And they'll transport you over there. And you won't be coming back. Always remember, you're not coming back. When you get on the boat, it's a one-way ride. Well, there's the story. Quite a little story, wouldn't you say? We're about out of time, so we're going to have to leave it right there. We'll be back here tomorrow night, same time, same station, with more on the editorial review and the Law Hour. Remember that the Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week on Truth Radio Network and worldwide on the Internet. For more information about the Gordon Law School and the Law Hour, please go to the website. It's georgegordon.org. The Law Hour is carried worldwide on the Internet, and all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date. The Gordon Law School is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school. It's open to individuals by prearrangement only. The law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. For more information, just go to the homeschooling page on the website. It's georgegordon.org. The law school teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. The Law Hour website is updated weekly and has our radio logs, the schedule, and archives, and it can be accessed through the website at georgegordon.org. The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. And the Law Hour brings you timely reports on law, science, education, politics, religion. There's the signal says our time is up. I'll have to leave it right there. I'll see you back here tomorrow night, same time, same station, God willing. So until then, good night, friends.